Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. We have some great guests on for you today. In the first half, we have Dr. Roger Murphree. He's the author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue. And in the second half, we're going to talk to Eileen Godofsky-Marino, and she is the author of a beautiful book, The Colorful Kitchen, Plant-Based Recipes. But first, here we have Alan with the Health First News.
Nearly half of U.S. women have at least a mild deficiency in the nutrient iodine, and new research suggests it could impair their fertility. Iodine, a mineral that helps regulate metabolism, is found in seafood, iodized salt, dairy products, and some fruits and vegetables. But in a new study of 467 American women who were trying to get pregnant, those with moderate to severe iodine deficiency were 46% less likely to get pregnant during each menstrual cycle than those with sufficient iodine levels. Even women with mildly deficient iodine levels had a slightly harder time getting pregnant, according to researchers led by Dr. James Mills of the U.S. National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. The findings were published online January 11th in the journal Human Reproduction. Young breast cancer patients with a BRCA gene mutation have the same chance to survive after treatment as those without the mutation, a new study finds. BRCA mutations are inherited and increase the risk of breast and ovarian cancers. Between 45 and 90% of women with a BRCA mutation develop breast cancer, compared with about 12.5% of women in the general population. This study included more than 2,700 women in the United Kingdom, aged 18 to 40, who had recently been diagnosed with breast cancer for the first time. 12% of the women had a BRCA mutation. The results were the same whether mutations were in the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene, according to the study published January 11th in The Lancet Oncology. Though healthy eating is good for everyone, those who have genes that put them at high risk for obesity might benefit the most. A new study suggests that even those who carry an inherited predisposition to pack on excess pounds are not destined to become obese. In fact, researchers say it can be avoided over time by adopting a healthy diet rich in fruits and vegetables and unencumbered by salt, sugar, alcohol, and red meat. The finding stems from a new analysis of diet, lifestyle, and medical data on about 14,000 men and women that had been collected for two earlier studies. Study author Dr. Liu Qi said they found that eating healthy foods lowers the risk of obesity and promotes weight loss for all populations, but the protective effects appear to be more evident among those at higher genetic risk. The study was published January 10th in the BMJ. Injecting a calcium-based cement into the bones of some people with knee or hip pain could help them avoid joint replacement surgery, Ohio State University doctors say. The calcium phosphate cement flows into the spongy inside portion of the bone, filling in microfractures and other damaged areas, and it hardens in about 10 minutes, said Dr. Kelton Vasilev, an orthopedic surgeon at the university's Wexner Medical Center. The cement braces the bruised or injured joint bone from the inside, Vasilev explained, and eventually is replaced by new bone as part of the body's natural healing process. The procedure, called subchondroplasty, has been available to people with knee problems for years, Vasilev said. Now he and his colleagues are testing to see whether hip patients also can benefit from it. It is much less invasive than a knee or hip replacement, and typically is performed on an outpatient basis, he said.
We have Dr. Roger Murphree with us today. He's the author of five books. He's a frequent guest on local and national radio and TV, and he maintains a busy practice helping people treat and beat fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. And his latest book is Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue. Welcome, Dr. Murphree.
Thank you, Kathy. I really appreciate the opportunity to interact with you.
Well, this is such an interesting topic because for some people, they don't even believe these things exist. Can you tell us a little bit about chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia? How do you decide if you have it, and how do you understand a protocol for wellness when you do have it?
Well, you're so right. Unfortunately, even though there is here in the United States, there's an insurance code that says that would be used to say that someone has fibromyalgia. The real challenge for those with this illness is that typically it takes about 12 different doctors in 7 years before you ever get the diagnosis. And unfortunately, even though the criteria for being diagnosed with fibromyalgia came out in 1990 by the American College of Rheumatology, we still have doctors today, some 20 years, over 20 years, some 30 years later, who don't believe fibromyalgia exists. Sad but true. And a big challenge with that is there's not a definitive blood test or x-ray or any type of diagnostic test that would show definitively that someone has fibromyalgia. So it very much is a process of elimination.
And how do you help people when they come to you with the chronic fatigue, the depression, the pain, to understand that it really is real and that there are some things that can be done about it?
Sure. So with fibromyalgia, fibromyalgia is a syndrome. So a syndrome is a group of symptoms that people have in common, and we call that fibromyalgia. And those symptoms for fibromyalgia and that syndrome are diffuse, achy, sometimes disabling pain, poor sleep, fatigue, low moods, restless leg syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome. So it's a myriad of different symptoms that people have under this banner that we call fibromyalgia. And for most people, the challenge with that is once you get the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, then what conventional medical doctors do is try to treat each symptom with a medication. But what I've learned over the last two decades of specializing in fibromyalgia is that symptoms are just warning signs that something's wrong in the body. So what you really want to do is not treat the symptoms. You want to find and start to fix the underlying causes of these symptoms. So again, fibromyalgia is just a name. It doesn't cause anything. So what we want to know is, what is the reason they have low energy? What is the reason why they can't sleep at night? And oftentimes that may have something to do with their thyroid gland or their adrenal glands or something wrong, a deficiency in their brain chemicals or neurotransmitters.
Are these unique to each person, or do you see quite a common thread through all the patients with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue?
Kathy, that's a great question. So there are some common things that run, a common thread that runs through the patients that I see. And chief among them for fibromyalgia, those individuals are low in a brain chemical called serotonin. Now, serotonin is a hormone, a brain chemical. A lot of times people refer to that as the happy hormone. And the higher your serotonin level, the higher your pain threshold. The higher your serotonin level, the happier you are, the less anxious you are, the more mental clarity that you have. It also helps to regulate our bowel movements. You have more serotonin receptors in your intestinal tract than you do in your brain. So when you get deficient in serotonin, you might start to have problems with irritable bowel syndrome. When you get nervous, you get butterflies in your stomach. Part of that is that's where your serotonin levels are the highest. For fibromyalgia, for whatever reason, these individuals have depleted their serotonin levels over the years, and typically it's due to stress. And once that happens, they're very vulnerable for having all the symptoms that would go with low serotonin.
Mm-hmm. So how do you help them get back into rest and digest?
Well, it's definitely patient-specific, so everybody is different. You know, we're as different on the inside as we are on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, the first thing that has to happen for these individuals to have an opportunity to actually feel good again is to get deep restorative sleep. If they don't do that, Kathy, they're never going to feel good again. And for most patients with fibromyalgia, they're put on medications to help them with sleep. Here in the States, that may be Ambien or Klonopin or an anti-anxiety medication. The problem with those medications is that each medication has potential side effects,
mm-hmm,
that can actually make the condition worse. In fibromyalgia, you really can't drug your way out of fibromyalgia. The drug therapy approach, and conventional doctors know this. That's why they tell patients that they just have to learn to live with it.
Mm-hmm. So in order to get that deep restorative sleep to balance the hormones, and you can't actually take a sleeping pill and get a restorative sleep, you're saying?
Well, you can. You know, so there are some sleep medications that put you into deep delta wave sleep. But the problem with sleep medications is they increase your risk by heart attack and stroke and certain cancers by fivefold. So we know that. And that's not to scare anybody, and please don't stop taking your medications. But they have an inherent danger to them. In my approach, called the Murphy Method, that I've pioneered over the last 20 years, is using high doses, but the right doses in combinations of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids, these building blocks to start to correct the underlying biochemical deficiencies. And by doing that, patients are then able to have the needed serotonin, are able to have the needed sleep hormone melatonin that they need to be able to get a deep restorative sleep.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, energy, it's, what do we learn in science? It's never lost, or but it's somewhere, right?
For some of us, it's somewhere. We don't know where.
Where is it? Like, what happens? The spark plugs are not plugged in? Or how do people lose so much energy that everything's a trial?
Sure. Well, for most folks with fibromyalgia, what happens is this poor sleep. It just finally catches up with them. So in the beginning, they may start out with diffuse achy muscle pain in their neck and shoulders, and then it starts to spread. But pretty soon, sleep becomes compromised. Either they have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. And this may go on for months or years. And if they're taking prescription medications, a lot of times, even the prescription medications don't put them into deep restorative sleep. When that happens, you know, obviously you're going to have low energy. But the more stress that they're put their bodies under, the more likely they are to start to have other hormonal imbalances like low thyroid, which is our thyroid hormone controls our spark plugs.
Mm-hmm.
It controls every cell in the body. And so when the thyroid is not working like it should and your metabolism goes down, your cellular energy goes down, and you start to have low energy.
What are some simple ways that you can boost or nourish that thyroid?
Well, one of the best things is just taking a good multivitamin. It sounds very boring, but the thyroid needs selenium and B5, pantothenic acid, and needs certain B vitamins for it to be able to convert our food that we take in into thyroid hormones. You know, unfortunately, people hear about taking supplements or taking this and taking that, and they've tried these things, but they don't work, and so they get discouraged. But there is a way to do it that makes a difference. And with fibro, it's so complicated that, you know, if you got 15 tacks in your foot, and I remove two or three tacks, are you going to notice a difference?
I might not even say thank you yet.
So that's the challenge, is a lot of people, and they're left to do this on their own because most doctors kind of give up on them. And so they try these different supplements, they try these different things, but they don't work. And it's not that they won't work, it's just they're going to need some additional things to take place before they see a difference. So, you know, number one is that deep restorative sleep. Mm-hmm. And number two, Kathy, is, and I use this analogy, that we're all born with a stress coping savings account. And in that stress coping savings account, we have certain chemicals that allow us to deal with stress. So all day long, we're all under stress.
Mm-hmm.
And we get under these stressful situations, and we make withdrawals from our stress coping savings account to be able to deal with these stressors. So we have serotonin and cortisol and B vitamins and DHEA and these other hormones and vitamins and minerals that we have. And for most of us, we can deal with these stressors, and then by getting a good night's sleep the next day, we're fine. But you make deposits into your stress coping savings account by getting deep restorative sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting deep restorative sleep, you're not making these deposits, and pretty soon you bankrupt that account.
Mm-hmm.
So then stress is magnified, and those with fibro know exactly what I'm talking about. Changes in weather, traffic jams, little things that they used to be able to do, go grocery shopping, cook a meal, vacuum, take care of the house, whatever it is, balance a checkbook. They've been able to do these things in the past. Now, those tasks are so stressful, they can't even, some of them can't even, you know, get out of bed each day because it's just too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I'd like to hear how you work in your clinic with all these patients with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. But first, the break.